tutti, benvenuti a una nuova puntata di Italian Talk for Lovers of the Language. Ciao Cher!
Ciao Melissa, un saluto a tutti i nostri ascoltatori.
Sono Melissa e scrivo il blog Diario di una studentessa matta. I'm Melissa, the crazy student of the Italian language. I began a blog in Italian about 4 years ago. www.studentessamata.com to practice Italian and promote and encourage the study of the Italian language. I'm coming to you from San Francisco, California. From my porch, if I stand on my tiptoes, I can see the southernmost part of the famous bay. Most people say that they left their hearts in San Francisco, but I, on the other hand, left my heart in Italia. Sono qui con la mia amica e collaboratrice, Cher. Come stai, Cher?
Ciao a tutti, sto bene e sono molto lieta di essere qui con te e tutti voi. Sono Cher, and I'm the creator of the site The Iceberg Project, where I teach people how to finally become fluent in Italian and charm Italians in their own language. Thanks for coming and joining us again for another episode about the Italian language and culture. The two go hand in hand. By learning more about the culture, you'll understand more insight into the language. And it's been a busy month for both of us since we last checked in with you. First of all, our podcast can now be found on iTunes. Che bella notizia! You can also find previous episodes on Melissa's site under the podcast tab, complete with her gorgeous illustrations of us for each episode and a brief summary of our guests. And you can find today's notes at icebergproject.co/May, M-A-Y, as well as Melissa's site.
It's been a busy month for sure. Make sure you stop by Studentessa Mata blog to read the latest posts written in Italian and Inglese. It is a great way for intermediary students to advance their and practice their Italian language skills. I also feature guest posts written by Italians about the interesting projects that they are involved with. For instance, I just featured Alessandra Pasqui and her lovely podcast called Al Denti. You can find the link in the program notes. I'm also continually adding learning resources to my Learning Tips and Suggestions page. Click on the Learning tab to get a variety of clever ways to practice your Italian skills and help turn every day into a language immersion experience. You will find online sites, YouTube channels, and free resources that will move your Italian to the next level. I'm always adding to the page because I'm amazed at how many things I find every week. It's incredible. The internet is a beautiful thing. So you don't want to miss out on any of those new additions. So just check back frequently. Also, la grande notizia. I have just announced a new Mata language and cultural program for 2015 nelle Marche near Urbino. That is the birthplace of Raffaele or Raphael. Le Marche is a beautiful region that is bordered by Emilia Romagna to the north. And let's see, Tuscany to the northwest and Umbria to the west. With experienced local guides and teachers, we will immerse in language and culture while staying at the Palazzo Donati, which we will have exclusive use of. It's been reserved just for our group. There are 10 spots, so contact me if you are interested in getting involved with this lovely program. Details, of course, are on the Mata blog. I'm also about ready to depart for Italy at the end of May. I'm headed to Lucca and the 2014 June Mata language program. If you have the urge to travel last minute, I'm still accepting last minute prenotazioni. So what's going on with you, Cher? I know you just offered a 21-day preposition challenge to your readers. How did that go?
It was equal parts fun, challenging, and exhausting, and all in good ways. A lot of the challenge participants learned a ton about not only prepositions, but their overall grammar, where they're at, their level, and some structural stuff too. So it was a lot of fun. And hopefully I'm opening up again for self-study in the middle of May. And while this is running, I'm actually doing my own personal accent reduction challenge, which is just a fancy term to mean getting my accent as close to Italian native as possible using like articulation and scientific stuff and all kinds of cool tricks that hopefully I can share with you too.
I can't wait.
We also wanted to let you know that we are pleased to have iTalki as a sponsor of the podcast. iTalki is a great online site where you can find language conversation partners and native online teachers both for free and paid.
Welcome, Itaka. I'm highly recommending this site because I've had some very good experiences already with the teachers who I've met there. And you can learn more about the Itaki site by clicking on the Learning tab on my blog or clicking on the Itaki logo, which is on my homepage.
But right now, I'm very excited to get back to the podcast and discuss Italy and the events going on nel bel paese with Melissa.
Assolutamente. È un vero piacere parlare con te, Cher. Nella prima parte del programma di oggi parleremo delle feste che gli italiani festeggiano a maggio. Today we'll be talking about the many festivals that the Italians celebrate in the merry month of May.
So serio, more festivals? Last month we chatted about Easter, Pasqua, and then before that Valentine's Day, and then before that Carnevale. It seems like the party never ends, nel bel paese.
Hai ragione, Cher. The Italians certainly have a great sense of humor and know how to have a good time. They find all kinds of interesting ways to celebrate life and spring. In this podcast, we have two Italian guests who will share their stories about May festivals. Our first speaker is Gabriele, a native of Umbria. Gabriele is as delightful as he is, as are his stories. He, like the spring, is bursting with life. Lui è molto vivace e allegro. I just love him. He's such a great guy.
And quite the poet, right?
Yes. Our second guest is Ilaria Navarra from the Basilicata. She is a communications and international relations expert for private organizations. She studied in Venice and also lived in Umbria for a period of time. Ilaria will be talking about the meaning of the Italian word sagra, which translates into English as a small local festival where people meet to spend an evening together to taste local dishes. She will also be telling us more about the history of Baci Perugina, the famous chocolate company that is located in Perugia in Umbria.
And listen closely through this podcast, because we will be sharing phrases and vocabulary that you can practice and throw out at your next Italian conversation mixer or aperitivo party.
Ottimo! Sei pronta per cominciare, Cher? Bene, che lo spettacolo abbia inizio.
Veste truccate, anni 60, girano in centro, sfiorando i 90, rosse di fuoco, comincia la danza, di frecce con dietro attaccata una targa, dammi una speciale estate che avanza, dammi una Vespa e ti porto in vacanza.
Just listened to a clip from Luna Pop's Vespa special. It's an oldie, but a goodie. In Italian, you would say, Mamma mia, è un vecchio successo.
That song always puts me in such a good mood. What a better way to spend a warm spring day than riding around on a Vespa. Dammi una Vespa e ti porto in vacanza. Ma quanto è bello andare in giro con le ali sotto ai piedi se è una Vespa special che ti toglie i problemi. Ma quanto è bello andare in giro.
I love that too, and it sounds even better in Italian. Because in English, it's actually, give me a Vespa and I'll take you on vacation. How great to go around with the wings under the feet. If it is a Vespa special, then it will take away all problems. How great it is to go for a spin.
We've all experienced spring fever, or il torpore primaverile, when the days get warmer and the days grow longer. I think it's human nature to want to bask in the sun and goof off. You might say in Italian, staccare la spina. Literally, it means to pull the plug. The warmer days make you want to toss your grammar books aside and go for a spin on a Vespa, or fall asleep on a blanket while basking in the sun's rays, or perhaps after drinking a glass of Italian vino. There are all kinds of rituals and rites and ways of welcoming spring and warmer weather. When we were little, my sister and I would weave chains of flowers and wear them in our hair. We'd also create little May baskets from strips of paper and fill them with violets and leave them on our neighbors' doorsteps. But my most fun memory, I have to say, is a flunk day. I went to Knox College in Galesburg, Illinois, in the heart of the Midwest, and every year our college community celebrated the arrival of spring with a spring festival called Flunk Day. It was a day when the college dean called off all classes and the student body simply played hooky all day long. In Italian, you would say marinare la scuola, which is an old expression and would probably date you if you used it now. But more commonly, you would say bijare la scuola, or my favorite, saltare la scuola. And I used to do that a lot in Florence. I'd actually skip language class to go have a glass of wine or hang out on the steps of the Duomo and watch people. Flunk day, or il giorno bocciato, and bocciare is the word you use to say you failed an exam. At my school, always happened in May, but no one ever knew the exact day. It always came as quite a surprise. We were alerted to the arrival of flunk day around 4 o'clock in the morning, and the bells and horns would go off. There were people running around trying to wake up the entire college campus, and then we'd all gather in the main hall for a dance-a-thon, and then breakfast, and then the rest of the day, the campus was turned into this great big carnival atmosphere, games, competition, rides, there were shows, lots of food and barbecues, face painting, and more dancing, of course, and a little drinking. Of course, there were many false attempts to wake up the entire student body at 4 a.m. throughout the spring, and each time we'd all jump out, be ready to start the party, only to find out that it had been a false alarm. But when the time really arrived and the day was a really flunk day, we just had the best time. We were all primed and ready to enjoy a beautiful spring day, goofing off. What great times. Che bei ricordi.
Salta, salta, salta e vai, fino allo stagno arriverai. C'è una voce che parla al tuo cuore, incontro alla tua meta senza alcun timore. La strada è lunga ma tu lo sai, se ci credi ce la farai.
Salta, 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 la strada è lunga ma come tu lo sai, se ci credi ce la farai. We are singing about frogs here. And why would we be doing that?
Well, I've heard that things are really jumping nelle Marche at this time of year. Because can you believe this? Listen to this. In Urbino, in Fermignano, to celebrate the spring, they host the Gara delle Rane, the Race of the Frogs. And this spring festival involves men dressed up in medieval garb who push carts, kind of like flat wheelbarrows, with actual live frogs perched on top. And the idea is to race one's opponents and cross the finish line before the frogs jump out of the cart.
Wow, che confusione. Immaginate il caos. Just imagine the confusion. Sarebbe molto difficile arrivare al traguardo senza perdere la propria rana.
And in Ferrara, instead of racing frogs, they race horses, which are less jumpier, I think, right? Similar to the Palio di Siena that takes place in July and August. On the last Sunday in May, ever since 1279, so for forever, they have been hosting this historical horse race.
Yeah, the word palio is interesting. It means a race or competition between different parts or neighborhoods of a city. È una gara tra i rioni di una città o tra entità territoriali vicine tra di loro, in genere disputata con cavalli o altri animali.
I looked it up, and the name palio comes from the Latin pallium, which means cloak and refers to the drape material that's handed to the winner of the event. And isn't it interesting to see how much Latin still influences the Italian language?
And they say Latin is a dead language. It seems to live on in the Italian language, and goes, you can find many roots in Italian words, tracing all the way back to Latin origins. Now, the day prior to the palio in Ferrara, there are about 1,000 local participants who dress up, again, medieval garb, you got it, and they form this long procession to the Ferrara Castle. I've never been to Ferrara, but I can imagine that it must be quite the show. There are also, the famous flag-throwing competition. Men practice those routines for weeks in their tights in order to throw their flags high into the air and catch them with great precision.
I still think that we should pitch this to the Italian government and tell them that we can have events where women just come and they watch the men in the Italian in the tights throwing the flags. I think it'd be a great event to go to.
Let's pitch that to Renzi.
We'll let Renzi know. But I love that scene in the movie, speaking of flag throwing, Under the Tuscan Sun, where Diane Lane, the part where the young Polish boy practices for weeks the art of flag throwing to impress his Italian girlfriend. He's really adorable, and it's going well until he actually, like, hits himself on the head with a flag. But it does seem quite popular to celebrate spring dressed in medieval costumes. In Avigliana, in Piedmonte, on the second Sunday in May, they also celebrate the spring with a polenta festival.
And Italy without wines and wine festivals would be unthinkable. So think of May as wine month. But I pretty much think of Italy all year long as wine year. Yeah. But that's just me. In May, there is the big wine celebration, Cantine Aperte, literally it means open bar, with vintages presented across the country the last weekend in May. And toward the end of the month of May, in Chianti country, there is the Chianti Wine Festival in Monte Spertoli, in the heart of the Chianti region.
And in Marta, on the shores of Lake Bolsena, where I was for a bit studying, on May 14th, there's a procession of men who dress up as traditional tradesmen called La Barabata, and they carry their tools of business while white oxen pull floats, carry their wares and their fruits of their trade. And in Gubbio, in Umbria, in May, they also celebrate spring with the Festa dei Ceri, a race with candles and costumes, which is followed by a historical crossbow exhibition at the end of the month.
So there are lots of spring flings, competitions, and festivals happening all over Italy, but one that I find completely fascinating is the one that occurs in Assisi called Calen de Maggio. Calen de Maggio, or May Day, is also celebrated, of course, in many regions of Italia, including Piemonte, Liguria, Lombardia, Emilia, Romagna, and Toscana. And it is the festival representing the allegory of the return of life and rebirth. L'idea del Calen de Maggio è quello di festeggiare la primavera, non solo il risveglio della natura, ma anche dei sensi, una sorta di inno alla vita e alla giovinezza. But what they do in Assisi is really quite unique. It's really incredible. They take this to the next level. I first became familiar with Assisi's Calen de Maggio. It takes place the first Thursday, Friday, and Saturday after the 1st of May. After my friend Alessandro Rosa, a photographer near Assisi, posted pictures of this event on his Facebook page, and this was a couple years ago. But his photos were so lovely and captured so beautifully the authenticity of the costumes and the spirit of this event that I was completely charmed. I thought how lovely it would be to take part in this amazing event that the people of Assisi take such time and effort to craft into a real feast for all the senses. In fact, I dedicated a post on the Studentessa Amata blog called Festeggiamo la Primavera, and I'll provide a link in the program notes.
And the story of Calen de Maggio in Assisi is particularly interesting and stems from an ancient rivalry between the Parte di Sopra and the Parte di Sotto of Assisi, and can be traced to the Nepis and Fiumi families in the Middle Ages.
Yeah, apparently it was a particularly nasty, bloody feud between two families as they tried to gain supremacy of the town of Assisi. Ci fu una faida sanguinosa tra le famiglie. The feuding began in the 14th century and continued unchecked for over 200 years.
Insane, pazzesco. That was, it stopped, after Giovanni Andrea Cruciani, the papal governor, stepped in the 16th century, and he reorganized the city into three contrada, or divisions, to keep the factions apart. Since then, there has been a healthier, you could say, kind of competition between the contrada.
Yeah, it might be a little friendlier, this competition, but it is still taken quite seriously. The upper and lower parts of Assisi vie for the premio, the prize, and bragging rights of the best contrada for the year. Ci sono grandi spettacoli, costumi incredibili, concorsi e gare. There are theatrical performances, balls, concerts, and parades. Of course, Calen de Maggio in Assisi also features its own spandieratori, men throwing tights and flags, men in tights throwing flags in the air.
If the men threw tights, that'd be a lot more interesting, I think.
Thank you.
Participants have noted that one of the most incredible things about this festival is the tamburi de cortei, the drummers who play during the processions, and the noise is so deep and so loud that it reverberates through your entire body. It has been said that for the men who are about to enter into battle, the beating drums scare away the fear of death. And no wonder. The drums certainly raise one's adrenaline, making people act more courageously, or perhaps more stupidly, depending on your punto di vista, your point of view.
I'm also including a video omaggio of these events in my program notes on the blog. And now here is our friend Gabriele Cricolini, who will tell us more about Calling de Baggio. Gabriele is the author of the blog Umbria Lovers, and he's also the manager of the Agriturismo Tenuto di Caccia Bruciata. It's located around the Umbria-Toscana borders near the city of Castello and close to Lake Trasimeno. He says he loves nature, beautiful humans, grandma's recipes, and the slow life. Gabriele was born and raised in Umbria, often called the Green Heart of Italy because it is landlocked and doesn't touch the sea or have a coastline. Gabriele knows Umbria like the back of his hand. He is an expert on the region and knows all the good places to eat and visit. Take it away, Gabriele.
Maggio è un mese speciale, un mese molto speciale qui in Umbria. Un evento sorprendente che molti ricordano e festeggiano avvenne 34 anni fa. 34 anni fa, infatti, in un ospedale di Perugia, sono nato io. Ciao, molto piacere, io sono Gabriele e sono un cittadino umbro doc. E ora vi parlo del mio maggio. Maggio è il mese del risveglio della primavera. È il mese dove le fredde giornate di marzo e spesso di aprile fanno spazio ad un clima mite costante, dove le ore di luce della giornata si allungano fino alle 7:30 e poi fino alle 8 e quasi le 9, dove le colline dell'Umbria, coperte di olivi, riacquistano tutto il loro splendore. Gli alberi sono ora di nuovo colorati di un verde intenso, che a contrasto con il cielo azzurro e illuminati dal sole, creano il paesaggio perfetto per delle belle serate di primavera. Già, la sera di primavera. La sera di primavera riaccende la vita dei paesi, che si ripopolano delle persone che vivono in questi borghi medievali tipici dell'Umbria. Cittadine fatte di pietre antiche, mattoni, piccole vie, palazzi storici, archi e chiese, che se durante l'inverno sembrano in letargo, con le persone del posto chiuse nelle case davanti al camino, nelle sere di primavera riprendono vita. I bar della piazza tirano fuori tavoli dove si fa il classico aperitivo umbro con vino, salumi e formaggi. I giovani si ritrovano insieme, magari seduti su un muretto della piazza, a parlare delle ragazze. Le ragazze si ritrovano anche loro, con i primi vestitini primaverili, freschi freschi, tirati fuori dall'armadio, che così tanto piacciono ai maschietti. Ed entrambi i gruppi si studiano, si guardano, si creano le prime tresche, delle storielle d'amore giovanile, un po' come avviene a John Travolta in Grease. Ed è gioia per l'arrivo della primavera. Ed è proprio questo il motivo storico che dà origine al Calen di Maggio, forse l'evento più importante che avviene ad Assisi, sicuramente uno dei più conosciuti dell'Umbria. Il Calen di Maggio nasce nel Medioevo, proprio per festeggiare il ritorno della primavera. E per festeggiare, nel Medioevo, si stava insieme agli altri abitanti del posto, bevendo, cantando e giocando. Cose semplici, ma piene di umanità e soprattutto senso di comunità. Ed oggi questo clima si rievoca ogni anno nei giorni vicini al primo di maggio. Tutta Assisi lavora per ricreare i vestiti originali medievali, per ricreare i giochi, per ricreare le sfilate del tempo. La maggior parte degli abitanti di Assisi sono vestiti in abiti medievali nei giorni di questo magico evento e la sera, proprio perché è una sera di primavera, si animano le taverne. Sì, le taverne. Dei piccoli ristoranti medievali, dei luoghi della città, spesso riaperti proprio per l'evento del Calen di Maggio, dove viene servito vino rosso che esce da brocche di terracotta e dove si mangiano i piatti ispirati all'epoca del Medioevo. E proprio come nel Medioevo, la comunità si ritrova insieme. Si beve vino, si ride, si scherza, si canta. Sono questi i miei ricordi più vivi del Calend di Maggio. Le calde serate primaverili in compagnia degli amici. L'atmosfera magica della città di Assisi con le sue pietre bianche. Le viuzzole della città come fiumi in piena di persone che fanno su e giù, che si salutano, che ridono, che scherzano. Le persone vestite con abiti d'epoca. Momenti semplici che riempiono il cuore di felicità e che ti fanno sentire pieno di vita, pieno di primavera.
Listening to Gabriele, I'm so impressed by his descriptions. Really quite lovely and poetic and funny too. He starts off by saying, Maggio è un mese speciale, molto speciale. Infatti, 34 anni fa, in un ospedale di Perugia, sono nato io. May is a special month because 34 years ago, Gabriele was born in a hospital in Perugia. Auguri, Gabriele. Buon compleanno.
He also very poetically describes the rebirth of spring in Umbria. He says in Italian, Gli alberi sono ora di nuovo colorati di un verde intenso che a contrasto con il cielo azzurro e illuminati dal sole creano il passaggio perfetto per delle belle serate di primavera. The trees are again freshly decorated with an intense green. The contrast with the blue sky illuminated by the sun to create a perfect landscape for the most beautiful spring evenings.
Wow, isn't that poetic? Wow, Gabriele. I love how he also describes how the bars in the piazza pull out their tables and chairs so that the patrons can enjoy the warmer weather outside. I bar della piazza tirano fuori i tavoli dove si fa il classico aperitivo umbro con vino, salumi e formaggi.
And he also mentions the classic spring romances that start to bloom as young women and young men meet once again on the piazza. I giovani si ritrovano insieme, magari seduti su un muretto della piazza, a parlare delle ragazze.
He concludes with, Sono questi i miei ricordi più vivi del Calend di Maggio. Le calde serate primaverili in compagnia degli amici, l'atmosfera magica della città di Assisi. These are my most vivid memories of Calend di Maggio, the warm spring evening spent with friends in the magical atmosphere of the city of Assisi.
Momenti semplici che riempiono il cuore di felicità e che ti fanno sentire pieno di vita, pieno di primavera. Simple moments that fill the heart with joy and make you feel full of life, full of spring.
Mangio troppo cioccolata, just like Giorgia the singer and songwriter. Now, we can't talk about Umbria without mentioning that Perugia is the capital and also the home to Perugina Bacci Chocolate Factory.
And it seems, I think I'm guessing, that in every single one of our episodes of this podcast, we've mentioned Bacci Chocolates.
I know, right? Che what? Which means, what's up with that? Well, if you are a chocolate lover, you would agree that a trip to the Bacci Chocolate Factory would be a dream come true. Well, because I wrote a blog post about the Bacci Perugina factory a few years back, it got picked up by the marketing directors of the Bacci Perugina company, and they actually contacted me, asking me to stop by and visit them the next time I was in Perugia. I was flattered, and I thought, wow, what an honor. But then I went, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to be in Perugia like in 2 months, and so I wrote them back. They probably didn't expect me to actually respond. I said, hey, I'm going to be there. And they were like, great, come on by. We'll make a day of it. And so my husband and I, we showed up at the chocolate factory and we were greeted warmly by the staff and we had a private tour and their marketing folks talked to us all about the chocolates and how they were made and we got a tour of their chocolate museum where there's this giant Bacci candy that was in some kind of fair or exhibition somewhere, some chocolate festival. And we also got to see the conveyor belts and go into the factory and see all the women with their little white hats and they're putting together the boxes of chocolates. And also we got to see our own little personal movie. And then, but the best best thing of all was that we got to go into their special kitchens. And I guess you can put together parties and you can do this. Groups of people can go in and work with their chocolate chef. And he comes in with a big white hat and he showed us how to make the chocolate truffles that are filled with the more chocolate on the inside. What's that called? Ganache? Is that right? And we just had such a good time. We had our, you know, arms up to our elbows covered in chocolate. And of course, we came away with boxes of chocolate. And it was just a great experience.
You know, while I didn't get to do the Master Chef class, which would have been amazing, and I would have cried because I'd be so happy, we did go in a group and we got to play this game called Tombola, which is like the Italian version of like bingo. It's a little different, but it's still a lot of fun. And we actually had, they had a huge life-size board and these really, really big bocce chocolates, and we played with those. So it was a lot of fun. And then we obviously ate a lot of chocolate, and I bought some to go home as well.
That's great. Well, now we have our friend Ilaria, and she's going to talk to us. She's recorded a message about bocce perugina.
Salve a tutti e un saluto speciale a Melissa, la mia studentessa matta preferita. Oggi vi voglio parlare di una storia che riguarda l'Umbria ed in particolare la città di Perugia. Siete mai stati da queste parti? Questa regione si trova nel centro dell'Italia. È molto ben conosciuta per tante ragioni e perché qui ci sono importanti testimonianze della storia italiana. Tanto per cominciare, è importante ricordare la città di Assisi, dove è nato San Francesco, il patrono d'Italia. L'Umbria è un bel posto per fare delle vacanze, in campagna, al lago e per visitare luoghi d'arte, ma è anche un posto dove si mangia bene e dove si svolgono tante sagre per assaggiare i prodotti di queste parti. A proposito, sapete cosa è una sagra? È una piccola festa di quartiere, di zona o di paese, dove ci si incontra per trascorrere insieme la serata e per assaggiare i piatti del posto e bere un buon vino. Ce ne sono tantissime, alcune anche molto buffe, come la sagra del torcolo, un dolce tipico, la sagra delle rane, del crostone e tante altre. La città di Perugia è famosa per la sua università e per il fatto di essere una tra le più graziose città di provincia ed è molto conosciuta per la cioccolata. Qui si trova la Perugina, l'azienda che produce i baci. Il bacio Perugina è un cioccolatino unico al mondo. Fa parte della storia d'Italia con romanticismo. In Italia ogni storia d'amore si incrocia con questa delizia. È nato negli anni 20 e si è affermato nel tempo come simbolo d'amore, di sentimenti e di emozioni. Come spesso succede, è un successo che è nato da un errore. Infatti, all'inizio del Novecento, la signora Luisa Spagnoli, per contenere i costi di produzione, impasta la granella di nocciola, residuo di tante lavorazioni, aggiunge una nocciola intera e poi la ricopre con l'inconfondibile cioccolato. E vista la forma simile alla nocca di una mano, lo chiama cazzotto. Solo in seguito diventerà il bacio. Nel 1939 il successo di Bacio Perugina è inarrestabile e giunge oltreoceano nel paese in cui tutti i sogni diventano realtà, l'America. Il punto di partenza per questa star elegante e raffinata non può che essere New York, dove Perugina apre il primo negozio sulla Fifth Avenue. La particolarità di questo cioccolatino è che, oltre ad essere molto buono, racchiude anche un piccolo messaggio, piccoli foglietti con frasi celebri o di anonimi scrittori. Fanno da sfondo ai desideri, alle speranze e alle fantasie degli innamorati. Lo ha detto la pubblicità in TV sin dagli anni 50 e in fondo in Italia lo pensano tutti. Ovunque c'è amore, c'è un bacio Perugina. Perché questi speciali cioccolatini sono come parole che servono per fare innamorare, per dichiararsi, per scusarsi e per fare pace.
Grazie Ilaria, molto interessante. And we hope the next time you are in Perugia or in the area of Umbria that you can stop by and check out the Baci Perugina company and their chocolate factory. Non ci posso credere. We've reached the end of this month's podcast. We hope you have enjoyed learning more about May festivals in Italy. Take a moment per staccare la spina e enjoy the day.
Un grande saluto a tutti i nostri ascoltatori di Italian Chocolate Lovers of the Language in tutto il mondo. Drop us a line or leave a comment on our blogs, and we adore feedback, especially from friends and students of the Italian language.
Diamo un appuntamento all'episodio successivo. Ciao a tutti!
Ciao!